Oh, excuse me. So, I'll be interested in your response. I went and saw Downton Abbey.
Oh, the movie. Why? Did you watch that? I don't watch that TV show. I don't mind.
I did. I watched the first series.
Yeah. Did you pick it up from the?
Well, no. We took Selena, my partner's dad. He's 90, and he likes Downton Abbey. So yeah. It was a day out for him.
Reminded me of his childhood. Was he upstairs or downstairs?
So the cinema was full of old people.
Yeah.
Really old people, which is fine. And
it's a well-written show. It's posh soap opera, as they say.
It is soap opera. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. But the characters are quite good. And it's well shot and, you know, of that genre, it's quite good. But
and the main guy's good, the head butler or whatever he is. He's a great actor, that guy.
Yeah, I probably should know his name.
No, I don't know his name, but he's good.
So an ad comes on before the main feature. And it was some French film. And it goes on for about 5 minutes. You know, they do with the trailers. They basically show the whole film.
Yeah.
Anyway, then it goes, coming, Boxing Day. And the woman, old woman behind us goes, Boxing Day? I could be dead by then.
Fair enough. Good comment. It's a few months away.
Yes. Well, fair enough. Because, I mean, what month is it now?
October.
And they're promoting something for Boxing Day. I mean, seriously, you know.
I know. You see concerts being advertised March next year. Like March next year. April next year.
It's hard to when you drive down the road and you look at a poster of some sort and you can't tell whether it's a really old poster from years ago or it's about to happen in about a year's time.
It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah. It's weird.
It's weird.
And it's, you know, when you go to the cinema now, do you really want to? I don't know. I don't see much I want to see.
Yeah, I know. I like trailers, though. I like watching trailers.
So you were at the...
Yeah, well, you go to cinema.
What annoys me is I get in the cinema and I want it to go dark because I like sitting in the dark. I don't want to sit there
it
and people...
It stays light, doesn't it, for ages?
It stays light for ages. You go, As soon as I walk in that door, I'm going into darkness with my ice cream.
Yeah, especially if you're by yourself. Much better when the lights go down.
Yeah, the lights are down. And then the lights don't go... Then they go... are they going now? No, then I go... Oh, then they go really slowly. Yeah. And the curtain goes back and it goes, just get on with it.
Give it a Val Morgan advertising.
Yeah. God.
I know. No, I want to go. I haven't been in the movies for ages. I want to see The Joker. I want to see that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Which is the Batman, is it?
Yeah, no, but it's the backstory of The Joker, who's a failed stand-up comic.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It looks good. I mean, it's really divided up people. Because it's directed by the guy who did The Hangover, Todd Phillips.
So is it meant to be, it's sort of
serious.
Oh.
Serious, funny kind of.
Does his makeup on his face get dry and cracked? That's what they do.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix is in it. He's like this tortured soul who's got a close relationship with his elderly mother and, you know, and Robert De Niro plays a Tonight Show host who plays a clip of him dying on stage. And so they use him as a running joke. So, you know, it looks good anyway. It looks interesting. At the very least.
What's your protocol for choosing a film? Do you go to Rotten Tomatoes?
Nah, never. Never.
What do I do?
Oh, do you? No. I just get a vibe.
A vibe?
Get a vibe.
You're
for
a street
it.
Man.
Yeah, I just go.
Word of mouth, man.
Oh, well, no, I watched the trailer because I don't listen to critics. Critics, you know, like I sat with Lee Patch, the Herald Sun critic, when The Big Lebowski came out.
Yeah.
Right? And I sat there with all these other film people and I loved it. And none of them, I said, this film, and I'm often wrong. I'm not often right. I was right this time. I said, this film's a classic. Lee Patch is going, he gave it like 2.5, 3 stars maybe. And he's since in the paper said he was wrong. Because that film turned out to be a classic film.
Big Lebowski,
you know. And so I don't trust critics because they're just a human being. They may have had a crap day. You know, they may have been stuck in traffic. And
they've seen about 8 films that week.
Yeah. They're like trolls. They sit in the dark. It's no good.
It's no good. And you know what annoys me? They never give a 5 and they never give a 1. They always give 2 or 3.
Yeah.
It's always, I used to watch the movie show with the two of them. What were their names?
Margaret and David.
And it was always, I give it 3 stars. You're going, you're telling me nothing.
Yeah.
If it's crap, I didn't like this film, but I'm still giving it 3 stars. I quite like this film. I'm giving it 3.5 stars.
It was just a terrible snob. And sure, fair enough, he gave some very bad reviews to movies that I've been in.
What's his name?
David Stratton. And he'd always say, she'd say, and he'd go, I don't know who these people are. And she would say, they're from TV. And he goes, I don't watch TV.
Yeah.
Like, mate, you're a snob because some of the best stuff is on TV these days.
Yeah.
It's not at the movies anymore. TV's a new film.
I saw him at the airport one day.
I saw him in the lift once.
Did you say anything?
Yeah, I did.
Did you say something about his reviewing?
Oh, here he is. I had a crack at him on radio. I had to share a studio. We had a crossover on the ABC, and he was on a conversation now. Then I was doing the next shift, and he was there. And I went, oh, yeah, you've reviewed a few films that I've been in. And I had a crack at him.
What, did he sort of shuffle in his zip-up shoes?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Because he's never very good. Margaret was always good with comedy. She seemed to understand a bit more. Yeah. But he was never good with comedy. Yeah.
He got an AFI, didn't he? For sitting on his ass watching movies.
What?
Seriously, you've run out of awards if you give him the critics. The
So, and he was always about, oh, the movie's too lowbrow. And then he put out a book called I Peed on Fellini. He's talking about weeing on a filmmaker. Like,
see, this is a bit weird for our podcast.
It is. Oh, it's gone off on a tangent.
God.
David Stratton. I've been triggered by David Stratton. Now, film critics. I think
we better put the music on because we're getting towards some inappropriate words.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
I have to say, though, it is funny, though, when there was a woman on who was very good, a film review on Triple J, Megan Spencer, for years, and she makes her own films now.
Yeah.
Anyway, I never liked her for some reason, right, and I used to go on about it. I never agreed with her reviews and all this. Anyway, the local cinema rang me up and said they want me to come down and interview Megan Spencer when she had a documentary out. And I said to the woman, oh, yeah, I'm not a huge fan. And she goes, oh, she's a big fan of yours. She was raving about you. I went, oh, okay, I'll be there. Then I put down the phone and Kieran, and my partner's like, I thought you hated her.
Hey, come on, don't be too quick to judge.
She's all right.
And once you get to know those people,
she's a lovely person.
Yeah.
Didn't find the same with David Stratton. Didn't think he was, anyway.
It is hard work reading a review or listening to someone or because I did Lantana, whatever, classic whatever. Film. Because the film comes with a movie with a talk track.
Yeah, yeah.
Where the writer and the director and the producer
they talk about the film.
And the director liked me and the producer liked me, but the writer didn't like me.
What, and he said that on the track? On the commentary track?
Well, I don't want to get into details and make him sound like I'm bitter and twisted, but he could tell that he didn't. Because I'm a TV actor. I'm not a real actor.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There's your TV actors. And I'm not even a real TV actor. I'm a sketch comedy guy getting on the big screen. That's not on.
No.
Sketch comedy guys, they don't know how to act.
Well, these days it is on, but back in those days it wasn't on. These days, Marvel movies are inhabited by former sketch comedy performers. You know what I mean? Like the guy from the Guardians of the Galaxy, Chris Pratt, he was from, Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, back then, you had to have your cred of being a film person, you know.
He basically thought Con the Fruiter was performing in his movie, didn't he? Kylie Moll is in my movie. I'm upset.
Okay.
They're all just snobs.
We're not.
No. Should we get our topics before we go off on
before board? Just get
triggered.
Taken down.
Triggered. What are they, Sam?
Dandelions and wetting the bed.
Well, I'm sure David Stratton was a bed wetter.
Come on, Dad, let it go. Come on.
You got to let it go. I always like Margaret. I thought Margaret was nice. Anyway.
I was a bedwetter.
Were you a bedwetter?
From the top of the wardrobe. Sorry. Bang. There you go. You got it out early.
Here or not.
Yeah. No, I reckon probably on occasion, but I was not a regular bedwetter.
Yeah, I've been very lucky with my kids that they're not bedwetters because occasionally a kid would stay over or you go on camp and they bring the rubber sheet with them, the rubber. You're like, what's – oh, okay, I get it. Sorry. I remember some kid stayed over and the mum said, I'll set up his bed for him and had this whole device with some sort of rubber sheet in it and an alarm went off when there was
– well, you're in good on it.
Yeah, because it's obviously – for some kids it's –
it's a problem, yeah.
Kids occasionally, like maybe once or twice when they were babies – not babies but toddlers because –
you just wanted to go to the toilet and you end up having a dream about going to the toilet. And then you go to the toilet and dream and it's warm next to you and you're going, oh, this is so good.
Hang on a minute. Have you ever went to bed?
I think
as an adult? As an adult?
Well, in other way. We don't have to eat.
I remember this girl went out with one of my friends in the 80s, went out with a guy who was not only a bedwetter, he would get up and he was had a problem with alcohol, that he would get up and either wee in the wardrobe
that's quite
or wee on the bed.
Yeah.
And she'd yell out, you're weeing on me. What a catch, hey? Oh, this is Derek. He enjoys scuba diving.
Because you're upset with your partner. You could just, you know, you go to sleep and in the middle of the night just go start urinating on. I didn't know what I was doing.
But the problem with, like, wee in the wardrobe, it just stinks because it's hard to get that. As a practical thing, it'd be hard to get that smell out, wouldn't it?
Well, apparently when I had a pool when I was growing up, one of the few people that had a swimming pool, a Clark rubber one.
Oh, we had one of them. Yeah. 4 footer above ground.
Yeah. And I think it was a 2 footer above ground. Ooh. But I was very strict. If people came around to swim, I would walk them to the toilet.
Oh, yeah, and you'd watch them wee.
Yeah. Who told you that?
Yeah, you've told me that before. you're like one of those guys in like Asada. You're like Asada or the Olympics, those guys. Wee in the toilet.
Keep going. Yep. No, all of it. Come on.
So okay, how old were you? 23. So you're a little kid when you're doing that.
Yeah, but it's a control freak, even then.
Remember all those urban myths that if you wee in the public pool, the water will turn green?
Blue. But there is something you put in the water to make it turn a colour, I think.
Yeah, right. I think it's an urban myth.
Is it?
Pretty sure. Speaking of movies, we did do that in one of our movies in the opening.
We did it in...
You and your stupid mate, we did it.
We did it in Bogan. We did it and the water turned blue.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. One of Reese Mitchell, he urinated.
In the pool.
In the pool, yeah.
Maybe it is true.
Do you urinate in pools?
No. Ocean, sure. Go for it in the ocean. Number two's in the ocean, but...
you haven't done number two. No, a friend of mine did number two in the ocean.
Oh.
He said it was really hard to tread water and...
Yeah.
To bear down at the same time, because you can only do one thing at a time. You can't bear down and tread water.
No, that's hard.
It must be hard. Imagine if you lost at sea, like, you know, boat's gone down and you're in there for a few days. Surely. Imagine if you're in there all day.
Hard work.
Mind you, probably keep the sharks away, wouldn't it?
Or attract them. Who knows?
Okay, so wetting the bed.
Wetting the bed. Do you remember that great, you know, remember in the 70s and the 80s, there were those great issues telly movies on like a Sunday night? They were American. They were like Hallmark movies.
I am.
And they'd have an issue like parents are getting divorced, and that's the whole movie. So they were like, right. And they had one about a bed wetter. Do you remember that one?
No.
And the kid, and it was started with the kid running home from school because his mum would hang out the dirty shit out the window the whole day to embarrass him.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can remember about that movie. I just remember the scene of him running home from school.
Wasn't the film Devil's Playground?
Oh, yeah, great film. The Aussie movie.
Yeah. Wasn't he traumatized to the point where we'd wet the bed every night and they had to berate him? And it was horrible. What they exposed him to. And he'd have to wash out his own sheets you know, there was the whole thing going on.
But bed wetting, yeah, I don't know. Obviously, it's a terrible affliction to have.
Mm.
But mainly for kids, isn't it? It's like, I'm a teenager. And
I hate to say the elderly as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's when they wear a nappy.
For a nappy. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, let's not say, we won't say who did it, but a friend of ours, well-known television. Well, I'm not going to say
we've told this story before. Yeah. He wore a nappy on stage.
I didn't wear it on stage, did he? He wore it to a party and talked to people and urinated at the same time.
I don't know that one.
No, you know the other ones that the older people can wear.
Yeah. Depends.
Depends, yeah.
Depends on what? Depends whether you're weeing
and
nappy.
He just went to the party and just thought, this will be fun. Let's wear a pair of these. And then he was talking and urinating and talking at the same time. Is that sick? I don't know.
Well, Hughesy wore one on stage because he was sick. And it sort of became a radio stunt. Yeah, he was sick. And
when he's wetting his pants all the time? Well, what do you mean?
I think the other one.
No.
Yeah, I don't know if anything happened while he was on stage, but he definitely wore one as a stunt, yeah. Oh, astronauts wear them, you know?
Do they? They're up in space, they don't... They just wet their pants and put another one on.
Remember that story in America where the woman drove across the former astronaut drove across this America to confront her boyfriend astronaut who was having an affair, and she wore a nappy the whole time so she wouldn't stop.
Oh.
Because she was used to wearing them in space, she said.
Because I do it in my wetsuit in the surf, and it's quite, you've really got to concentrate.
Yeah.
If you're wearing something that's pressured on you, I wonder how easy it is to do it with a nappy on. Probably quite easy.
Mm. I don't know. I've toilet trained kids and just not my kids, other kids. You know, a bit of fun. And
Dave's over again. He's taking you to the toilet. How do you do it?
Well, you've just got to. The first
in the middle of the night, this happens, yeah?
No. You've got to make sure. But they often wear a night nappy, as being called. But you've got to, when they feel the urge, you've got to put them on the toilet.
How do you know they got the urge?
Well, they have signs. I go hide behind the curtains, that kind of stuff. One of our kids would stand in the cot and want everyone to go away. So they're like talking at this stage. Yeah. They're not babies. But once you, the first one does it, the other, and girls toilet train easier because they feel it more, whereas boys don't feel it because of the way the systems are down there.
Well, there's a bit of a movement going on with men now that when they get up to go to the toilet in the middle of the night, they sit down.
Oh, yeah. Why is that? So they don't wee everywhere?
I think it's so, I don't want to say who.
I saw my twin brother. So I said to him, he was over at my house. He lives in, you know, Glenn, he lives in Europe, in Switzerland with Roberta and his children. And I said, we've got to go now. He goes, I just need to go to the toilet. I said, okay, yeah, just having a wee because we've got to go, right? We're running late. He goes, yeah. And he goes in the toilet. And I had to go brush my teeth. Whatever, I walk in, he's sitting on the toilet. I said, I thought you said you're having a wee. He goes, I am having a wee.
So he's a sit-down guy.
Yeah, because Roberta has said, I don't like you. And he's got a little sign in his, when we stayed there, he's got a sign saying, the kids have made a sign, men, please sit down and wee.
Is that so? The splash scenario?
Yeah, just, you know, she, not, you know, whatever. I weed on the floor just to, you know,
just to get it annoying.
Like a dog making a mark. You can't sit down when you urinate. That's no good.
Well, I would imagine that a lot of the time when men wake up in the middle of the night, maybe they've got something else going on.
Got an infection.
And so therefore sitting down would be
harder. Well, I mean, do you get up and go to the toilet at night?
Yeah.
Every night?
Yeah.
Wow, what time frame? 3 or 4 in the morning?
Or? I don't look at the time, but probably 3 or 4 in the morning, 3 o'clock.
Is there any way, my dad, who's Kev's 83 or 84, he doesn't get up in the night. Because what he does, he doesn't drink anything from 5 p.m. onwards.
Because he wants to sleep right through.
Yeah.
Yeah, I drink right up to the...
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
You're on the booze, just...
Yeah, I'm on the booze. In the bed with with the tinny. Yeah, and a fag. Yeah.
When I had a broken leg and it wasn't easy to get up, the doctor gave me a thing from the chemist, which is like a bottle that you wee in.
Yeah.
That was very handy. I wanted to keep it, but my partner threw it out. It's very easy just to roll over, put the bottle on, urinate, and then put it back under the bed and go back to sleep.
I told that story on this before when I did that at Universal Studios.
Oh, yes.
In the back of the behind the scenes tour train.
Oh.
And I was up the back and I drank a lot of water because I thought I was jet lagged and ended up having to urinate into a bottle. And then I tipped it out while we were being chased by the psycho guy was chasing the thing and I was pouring out my urine towards him. Wasn't
cop
pleasant.
This.
Yeah. Cop this. Oh, gee.
Well, I don't know what else we can say about wetting the bed.
I think I would imagine it has something to do with the level of anxiety or something, or fear or something, or don't want to, fear of not getting up to go to the toilet. Mm. Did you have any of those fears when you were young, like there's something living under the bed or something at the
kidnappings?
Window?
Kidnappings, because I was exactly the same age as, was it Eloise Wallage? She was kidnapped from Beau Morris and never found.
Oh.
Never found. And so the case is fascinating. And so she was exactly the same age as me, and it would have happened in 78, 79, that kind of, maybe 77. I reckon I was. Anyway, I remember reading about the case lately because they've reopened it and tried to find what happened.
Yeah.
No trace of her was found. So I was scared of kidnapping.
Someone coming in.
Yeah. Stealing me.
Stealing you. Yeah, no, I think I probably had the, you know, I think we had a rose bush up against the window.
Oh, yeah.
And on the windy night that it would scratch against the window, and that was kind of scary. And it would throw shadows that looked like people. That was a bit scary.
Yeah, we had a fuchsia plant. But I see it with my own kids. They get scared of the dark. Scared of the dark. I've had a bad nightmare, that kind of stuff.
Do you still have nightmares?
Yeah, I do sometimes.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I have bad dreams. And often it's me, you know, some sort of compromising. I've said something or got in trouble with someone. Then I wake up and go, thank God. It wasn't real.
I yell at people. Apparently, wakes Selena up. She has to go. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, I start yelling and
That's when your aggression comes out at night. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Someone's stolen a joke or something, you know, that sort of thing. So, wetting the bed. What more can we say about that?
So, dandelions. So, dandelions are that flower. Yeah.
It's a flower. I think it opens during the day and closes during the night. I think it's yellow.
Oh, they're quite fine looking, aren't they?
If I remember rightly, the dandelion is the one when you're a kid, you pick it up and you try to blow all the white bits off with one breath.
Yeah.
And they would then float. And that's how they spread their seed. They like little parachutes.
Yeah, they're great.
Float for miles and miles to spread. Nature is so clever.
It's amazing. I remember a rumor went around that if you boil them up and drank them, it was hallucinogenic when we were teenagers.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and so some of the kids were trying it out. You know when you're desperate and you're trying to eat mushrooms or anything to get any kind of rise.
Just to get out of your head.
Yeah, yes.
And did you try the dandelions?
No, I don't know.
What were the ones where you got the stem and you sucked something out of that, the white stuff came out?
That might have been dandelions.
But that was all.
There's dandelion tea, isn't there? You get dandelion tea now.
What was the stink bomb one?
Oh, what was that one?
All you had to do was crack it and wet it or something.
Yeah.
And they put him in a classroom somewhere and say, oh, no, someone's put a stink bomb in here. And it really was horrible.
Oh, terrible.
Dandelions.
Yeah, the beautiful flower, but I don't know what that has to do with.
We had a meal yesterday, visit with my brothers, and the food came out and that had a flower on top.
Oh, yeah. So did you eat the flower?
This is the question. I said, can we eat this? She goes, yeah. And it was she did say the name of the flower, and it was fine to eat. So I'm assuming if something is it, are you right to assume that anything is on your plate?
You can eat it.
You can eat it.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? You'd think so. But often I got to say that when I'm going to get my salad in a bag from the supermarket, I always skip the flowers. I wonder if I can really eat that. Is it just there for looks or?
Oh, in the bag. Yeah. I'm not trusting a flower.
Garnish. There's something to be said against garnish, I think.
Garnish is not all it's cracked up to be. I just, but then again, what's that popular one? The big flower. You can have it as an entree. The big, it's like a big sunflower. What is it?
Lettuce?
No.
Cabbage?
I forget what it's called. And you eat it and you go, yeah, it's all right, but it's not that special.
I suppose, you know, rocket is like a weed, isn't it? And I had rocket last night.
Rocket's great because it's got a little peppery taste to it.
Beautiful. Yeah. Love rocket. But apparently it's one of the easiest things to grow. If you put it in your garden, it's very easy to grow. Someone told me once.
Did you hear about the guy went to the doctor's with a bit of lettuce sticking out of his ass?
No.
He goes, doctor, I've got lettuce sticking out of my ass. Doctor goes, I better have a look. And he looks and goes, oh, it's all right. It's only the tip of the iceberg. Do we lose points for that?
No, that's all right. No,
it's on topic.
Jokes are good.
Jokes are on topic.
Jokes are good.
What were the flowers? Love me, not flowers.
Yeah, what were they? Did we make the chains out of them? Like the.
Yes.
Yeah. My daughter's.
That's right.
We make the chains and make a necklace out of them.
But how did you link the? It was just the stem.
You tie around the stem. You tie the stem around the head
because it was a nice long green stem.
Yes, very good stem. Very good stem.
And then you tie that into make it into a link.
What's considered a weed, dandelions? Because we've got how's this? In our the front fence, okay, of our front yard. You've seen our front fence. There's like there used to be cracked concrete, and so a few years ago, we planted daisies, lavender. The seaside day, all those kind of sort of weedish flowers.
And you put the marijuana right at the back.
Marijuana's at the back.
Yeah, of course. That'd be stupid.
Don't put it in your front. Don't put it in your front.
That's a stupid thing.
And if you're in Canberra, you can have two plants now. Yeah. So that's all cool. And so anyway, they grew up and they grew really nice and beautiful, right? We go overseas, come back, they're all gone, and the council has just put bitumen over the.
That's not appropriate.
They've taken all these flowers.
But hang on, man, this is interesting. What was it, inside or outside?
No, it was outside.
So what do you call that? What do you call that little bit of nature strip?
It was actually the footpath.
So there's the footpath, and you put the flowers where?
Yeah, on the edge of our fence and the footpath. Where it was
so cracking. There was a little gap in there, and you put flowers in there, and they've come along with a whippersnapper.
Cut them all out and put new bitumen, new concrete down. And they actually knocked on the door and asked my mother-in-law, Betty, is it okay? And she went, oh, I can't speak for that. I don't know. It just freaked her out. And so they went, oh, let's just do it. I suppose it's a safety concern.
I suppose it is.
Kind of annoyed me, though.
A friend of mine, he just overtook the whole nature strip.
Oh, yeah, planted stuff. And
you go, and there's a guy a few doors up doing it. You're going, can you do that where they're just putting anything they want? So you can't do that.
No, not technically you can't, but some people do. Oh, there's a great roundabout in my house where they've just, someone has taken it over and made a great little garden in there with a wheelbarrow and garden gnomes and cactus. You know, good on them. Better than what the council was doing, that's for sure.
But it does look a little inconsistent, doesn't it?
Yes.
And you tell what else people are doing too. They're going normal grass, normal grass, normal grass. And then you go fake grass.
Yeah.
You've seen the fake. And that's, you got to go, I kind of get it.
I'm not a fan of fake grass.
No, you wouldn't be. You're organic.
I'm more organic, yeah.
Yeah.
Fake grass. Is that, because when we got lawn laid, the guy tried to sell you the fake grass. Nah, it's really good, mate.
You got to vacuum it still, I think.
Yeah, no, you do. Well, there was a guy, so. We've at the primary school where my kids go, it's at the end of our street. And they, when we first moved there, they had a real grass oval, but it just kept getting wrecked and wrecked. Yep. So they put down a fake grass one. And now there's a guy who turns up every year and he's got on the back of his thing, AstroTurf, you know, maintenance provider. And he's just driving around on this truck. Basically a giant vacuum.
Yeah.
Drives around.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, they have it in the Olympics and they have water. So when you fall over, really? Yeah, I think it's because you can burn yourself, I think.
Oh, it gets really hot.
Yeah.
It gets really hot.
And like a normal burn when you slide on it. So you watch it with the hockey, that's why there's water there. I think that's why there's water there. Certainly not trying to make the grass grow because it's artificial.
Now, I love lawn, and people get very envious. We've got quite a big lawn in the backyard and some in the front yard. People get very envious.
The amount of effort and time and money put into lawns is ridiculous. The amount of money that is water that is wasted on lawns, seriously.
No, I don't water. Okay, we got a watering system.
I reckon you're a secret waterer. You probably get up at 3 a.m.
Yeah, one of those guys.
Yeah, you know, don't want to do the wrong thing.
Well, what thinking music can we have?
Well, that's interesting because you can't Daniel the Flowers.
Dandelion, bedwetting.
Well, can we? How about this? How about we have not a sex? How about we have a bed scene?
Oh yeah.
But not a bed scene. Not a rude bed scene. How about we have the seduction scene from The Graduate?
Oh, okay.
Remember, doesn't she put her leg up on the bed and she takes off the thing? And
how old was she when she was in The Graduate?
Anne Bancroft?
Yeah.
Do you know?
I think it's like 38.
She was
quite young.
And so great film.
Oh, the tops, the best.
And that scene is great. So do you reckon that's a good thing?
I think love The Graduate.
Yeah, let's just go back with.
Reminds me of an experience I had.
Let's just leave it there.
Not really. We wish. All right, let's have a bit of The Graduate.
For God's sake, Mrs. Robinson. Here we are. You got me into your house. You give me a drink. You put on music. Now you start opening up your personal life to me and tell me your husband won't be home for hours.
So?
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me. Aren't you?
Yeah, fantastic stuff. So good. You know the best scene in that movie is when he goes, spoiler alert, you haven't seen it, he goes and interrupts the wedding of the young woman. It's a Anne Bancroft's daughter, isn't it?
Yeah.
And she runs off with him. What's his name?
Dustin Hoffman.
Mm. And they just sit on the bus. They sit on the bus, don't they?
Yes.
And then they just look on their faces like, what do we do now?
Yeah. Yeah.
What have we done?
Yeah. It's a Simon and Garfunkel song, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And then they're running around.
Cecilia? Cecilia, you're breaking my heart. Anyway. Great movie. All right. Well, let's
Dandelions and Wetting the Bed.
Okay, I'm just going to
fire from the hip.
I've no idea, but I'm thinking that dandelion tea, boil up some dandelions.
Oh, that's what we didn't talk about, dandelion tea.
Yeah, dandelion tea.
Oh.
I reckon you boil that up and stops you wetting the bed.
That basically we're going to go the same because.
Right. Well, where else can you go?
Where else? You know, like, I think, okay, I'll tell you what I'll say. If you put dandelions in a vase next to the bed, the chances of the person wetting the bed is reduced by it's an aromatherapy treatment.
Wow, I like it.
As opposed, because you have your lavender for getting to sleep and you have your dandelion to stop you wetting the bed.
Sure. All right. Let's find out. Should we get the answer? Sam, we haven't heard from you much today, but what is the answer?
Dandelion leaves are used to add flavor to salads, sandwiches, and teas. They're also a long-known diuretic to help the body get rid of too much fluid, like at night when people are warm and relaxed. English folk names for the plants are pea beds and pisser beds. In French, the dandelion is called pissenlit, which means piss in bed. Similar names exist in Italian and Spanish.
Okay, wow. Yeah,
so
I didn't know that.
So it's a diet, which means it's like coffee, yeah?
Yeah.
So don't have dandelion tea. You're
going to wet the bed.
You will wet the bed. And dandelion means that. So
interesting.
So much for a remedy.
Yeah, no remedy at all.
Yeah.
Well, I got to say, you learn something every day. You learn something on this podcast.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
But all you've learned is what you can't do.
Yeah.
Which is not. We like to think that you teach you things that, or something that you can drop at a dinner party or something.
You don't know. But And also, go to our Facebook group. There's all these conversations going on there. There's some great stuff posted there lately, Glenn. I know you're not on Facebook.
But, what do you mean? What sort of things are being posted?
Oh, all sorts of stuff. Nude photos. Anyway, I put a lot of amateur porn up there.
You don't put anything of me in it doing anything inappropriate, do you?
Well, I've had photos of you, but not inappropriate.
Do people sending things in?
Yeah, people sending ideas, people sending conversation starters. So if we talk about something on here, people will continue the conversation. Or say, you guys are talking about this, is it something like that?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. It's really cool.
Well, we're going through a bit of an interesting period with this show, so anything that people can do to support us would be great, because we're not saying that we get under the pump, but anything that helps us get out to more people.
Yeah, tell a friend.
Tell a friend, or we'll write a review or something.
Yeah,
or
just stand up at work and go, sorry, guys, just your attention for a minute. This is this great podcast called Related with Glenn Robbins, David Hill. You don't like that guy? Well, anyway, don't worry about that.
Don't worry. Give him another chance.
Give him another chance, guys.
Stop people in the street. What are you doing? Yeah. Have you heard about something somewhere related? You know what you're missing.
And also, I find people that are trapped, like, say, a Lollipop Man or the girl in Baker's Delight, they can't go anywhere. Just trap them. I'll get a Vegemite Sprite roll. And are you into podcasts, young lady?
Yeah. You got nothing to lose.
You got nothing to lose. And a way to make people and make a connection.
Oh, by the way, the show is sold out.
Oh, yeah, the live show is sold out that we're doing in Melbourne. So don't worry, we'll be doing other ones. Someone actually wanted us to come to Darwin.
Well, that's not out of the question.
Yeah, there was just someone on the Facebook group saying, who's up for it? And no one else was up for it in Darwin. So,
well, maybe next winter we could go to Darwin.
I'd love to go to Darwin. We love Darwin.
What'll be good is if we get to press the flesh and we will start a religion from this.
Yeah. You can be the cult leader. I'll be the assistant.
You reckon?
Yeah.
What would you wear?
Oh, I'd wear something flowing, long and flowing.
Would you wear underwear underneath it?
Probably not. Yeah, you would. I'd wear a muumuu.
Here comes Dave in his muumuu and Glenn in his...
You mean a linen suit, I reckon, a white suit.
I'd be... Oh, okay. Oh, I'd be... Ah, yeah, all right. Can I have some beads or something?
Yeah, beads, to, you know.
Yeah.
And welcome to Somehow Related. Start off as a podcast, now it's a lifestyle.
It's not stupid.
I know you're traditionally married, but we're going to put that stuff aside now.
Just 50% of your income.
Yeah, 50%. Yeah.
And you too can be saved from boredom.
Yeah, and we'll set up our cult somewhere nice. We're not going to go like, the guy set up one. Out near
something too far away.
We're going to go near the beach.
Yeah.
We're going near the beach.
Yep.
We're going near the beach. It's going to be the ocean near it.
Yep.
It's going to be...
And Dave's going to cook. He's going to make his favourite dish, which will be...
I won't be doing any cooking. The cult members will be cooking.
But I thought that would be part of the treat, though. You could do your bolognese sauce.
Oh, yeah, I'll teach people that.
And I could do my card tricks. I could do my fake tarot reading.
And then at night... Anyway, we won't go into those details. We get to iron them out.
People are worried about coming to the show now. They're really worried what's going to happen to them.
Well, no, nothing's going to happen.
They'll never be the same again.
You're not going to have to drink a Kool-Aid. You're not going to have to put on Nike runners. It's all just normal. We're not really starting.
We can. Well, we'll drink our own urine, but you don't have to drink it yourself.
Remember, Gandhi did that. So that's cool.
Oof.